الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الأفلاك والأرضين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم Respected audience, before I begin to speak on the topic that I have been given today, as is the tradition of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, may we all send durood upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin ma'adinil judi wal karam wa manba'il ilmi wal hilmi wal hikam وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلِّمْ. الشيخ العلامة ابن نجيم المصري, the great Egyptian scholar who is the author of many books, البحر الرائق, الأشباه والنزائر, and many other books. In the preface of Al-Ashbah wa Al-Nazair, Allama Ibn Nujaym radiallahu ta'ala an, he writes that the scholars of different sciences of knowledge, none of them knows their destination on the Day of Judgment. Nobody knows their destination. He says nobody in the world knows what their destination will be on the Day of Judgment, إِلَّا الْفُقَهَا, but the فُقْهَاءِ kiram. He says those people who go out of their way to study ilme fiqh, the knowledge of the Sharia of Islam, they are the only ones who know what their destination will be on the Day of Judgment. And he says this is because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for someone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him a faqih of the deen, gives him the knowledge of the understanding of the religion, the knowledge of the Sharia. From this hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we learn that ilme fiqh, the knowledge of Sharia, is only given to those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills good for. And when Allah has willed good for somebody, then he knows that his destination will be Jannah, paradise, eternal bliss. And there is another narration in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the Day of Judgment I will say, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will say to the ulama-i kiram, Allah will gather the ulama-i kiram and then say to the ulama-i kiram that I did not give you the knowledge of the deen. I did not give you the knowledge of our religion, Islam. Illa wa ana uridu an aghfira lakum wa la ubali. But only because I wanted to forgive all your sins and not be concerned about anything else. Subhanallah. The status of ulama-i-kiram is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills good for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them that knowledge so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the wasila of that knowledge, forgives all their sins on the Day of Judgment and sends them into Jannah. Subhanallah. And that is why knowledge of the deen is very, very important. In another hadith, Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala an, he has recorded this hadith, and he says that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call for the abideen and the shuhada. The abideen are those people who spend their day and night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shuhada-i-kiram are those who gave their life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who died for the sake of Allah, for raising the kalima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and for the deen. They will be called, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, O abideen and O shuhada, enter Jannah. This is the path to Jannah. Go to Jannah. And the abideen and the shuhada-i-kiram will go into Jannah. The ulama-i-kiram, they will seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, they became abideen because of the knowledge that we gave to them. Ya Allah, these people died in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we gave them the knowledge of its compulsoriness, if there is such word, the obligation. We gave them the knowledge, the virtues of becoming a shaheed, that is why they gave their life in the path of Allah. So Ya Allah, what about us? What about the ulama-i-kiram? For you have sent the abideen and the shuhada in Jannah, and you have left the ulama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply on the Day of Judgment that, O ulama, for me, you are like some of my angels. Subhanallah. You are like some of my angels. I have not sent you into Jannah yet because I want you to look for those sinful people from the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do shafa'ah for them. And when they have gone into Jannah, after that you can go into Jannah as well. Subhanallah. This is the status of ulama-i-kiram. And this is not something that everybody cannot gain. Everybody has the opportunity to gain the knowledge of the deen. And today's message from me, now in the middle of the speech and at the end of the speech, will be that gain the knowledge of the deen. Become an alim-e-deen. It is never too late to become an alim of the deen. Subhanallah. Imam Dhahabi radiallahu ta'ala, he recorded a hadith. He says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blood of a person who died as a martyr in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be put on the weighing scales. The blood of a martyr, he who died in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave his life away, and that life, which is the most important for a believer, is to save his life. To protect one's life is the most important for a believer. Up to the extent that if a non-Muslim forces a Muslim by putting a sword onto his neck or by putting a gun onto his head and says that, renounce Islam, reject Islam, otherwise I will kill you. If he knows that this person will kill me, if he knows that this person will cut my head off if I don't, as long as his heart is firm upon Islam, with his tongue it is still permissible for him to renounce Islam. That is how important it is to protect one's life. However, if a person still has taqwa and he decides to choose azimah and be patient and still not reject Islam, then he will die as a martyr. But a person who is in the desert and he has no water, he has nothing to keep himself alive, and he needs a drink, and if he doesn't drink, then he will die, and all he has is alcohol, which is najis, impure, and it's haram. He must drink that alcohol to save his life, because it is more important to save his life than to stay away from alcohol. That is how important saving your life is. So a shaheed, one who dies in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a martyr, you can imagine how high his status is. He gives his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Dhahabi radiallahu ta'ala and records this hadith, and he says that on the day of judgment, the blood of a martyr will be put on one side of the scales, and the ink of an alim adeen, the ink of a scholar with which he writes the knowledge of the deen, with which he spreads the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with which he does the difa', the answers to those people who object against Islam, and he refutes those people who are innovating in Islam. That ink will be put on the other side of the scales. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that the ink of the alim adeen will be more heavier than the blood of a martyr. Subhanallah. That is how much importance Islam has given to knowledge. And that is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَمُسْلِمَةٍ. That to demand knowledge, to gain knowledge, to attain knowledge, to seek knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim male and female. Subhanallah. It is an obligation. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam made it compulsory to gain knowledge, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hated ignorance, disliked ignorance, and verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes ignorance. One of the statements of Allama Naqi Ali Khan alayhi rahmah, the father of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an, and also recorded by Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala an in his Ihya'ul Ulum, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-babul aqrab, the closest door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ilm. The closest door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ilm. وَأَعْزَمُ حِجَابٍ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ الْجَهَلِ. And the greatest of all veils that stops you from reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ignorance. Jihala, to not have knowledge. Jihala is the greatest veil stopping you from reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knowledge is the closest door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. That the only people who fear Allah is the ulama. Subhanallah. Khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of your iman. And that is why the ulama ikram say that a person can only be a complete believer, a mu'min al-kamil, if he is an alim adeen. That is how important it is to become an alim adeen. And it's not too late, never too late to become an alim. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, اطلبوا العلم من المهدي إلى اللحد. That gain knowledge from the cradle of your mother all the way until you reach your grave. Which means even if you have reached the age of 30, even if you have reached the age of 40, even if you have reached the age of 60, even if you have reached the age of 90 and you are still living in this world, it is still not too late to gain knowledge. And even if you exceed the age of 150 and you are still living, you have not reached the grave, then you must still gain knowledge. You can still gain knowledge. It is still not too late. Subhanallah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in a hadith says, that person who dies in the path of knowledge, that person who dies as a talibul ilm, that person who dies whilst he is still studying the deen and becoming an alim ad-deen, then when he dies, everything in the world, all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeks his forgiveness. Everybody seeks his forgiveness. The angels, the malaika seek for his forgiveness. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, even the ants in their holes, they seek for his forgiveness. And even the fish in the sea, even they seek for his forgiveness. Subhanallah. So why not start? Why not begin on the path of knowledge? Why not go to an alim ad-deen? Why not go to a scholar of the deen and tell him, let us begin a course which can make us an alim ad-deen through however long it takes, but why not begin a course, not only for the young, but for the elders as well? Because when you die whilst doing that course, then these virtues are for you. Subhanallah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam also said regarding that alim ad-deen who teaches his knowledge, a muallim, somebody who is a teacher of the deen, who teaches ilm ad-deen to others, that everything in the world between the sky and the earth seeks for his forgiveness as well. Even the ants in their holes and even the fish in the sea. Subhanallah. And as I was mentioning, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Only the ulama are the ones who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are the ones who know the haqaiq and the sharia and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although it is impossible for the human brain to comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The existence of Allah is beyond the comprehension of the human mind. But what we mean is that they have the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than the layman. So if they are the ones who fear Allah, they are the ones who have the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then look at the other verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Bayyina says at the end, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an dhalika liman khashiya rabbah. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Who is this for? Dhalika liman khashiya rabbah. This is for those people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Which means those people who fear Allah, and as Allah mentions in the other verse, that only the ulama fear Allah, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشْيَ رَبَّهُ, then for them we can say radiyallahu anhu, Allah is pleased with him. Subhanallah. And some people from the Wahhabi sect, they say that you cannot say radiyallahu anhu for other than the Sahaba ikram. However, that is incorrect, because the Quran here is saying that إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. And on the other hand, Allah is saying, رَضِيَ anhum wa radu an ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. And that is why the fuqahai kiram have written that تَرَضَّى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَدُوا عَنْ, to say that is for the sahaba-i kiram. And to say rahmatullahi alayh is for the awliya-i kiram and the ulama-i kiram. However, they can both be used vice versa. They can both be used for each other. So you can use radiyallahu an for the ulama and the awliya, and you can use rahmatullahi alayhi for the sahaba ikram. That is what the ulama have written. Subhanallah. This is the status of knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam emphasized the importance of knowledge to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, utlubul ilma walau bis-seen. Utlubul ilm, gain knowledge, even if you have to travel all the way to China. And in them days, it was near to impossible to travel all the way to China. It wasn't impossible, it was near to impossible. In them days, the sources of travel were very less. Transportation was not like it is today. It was very hard to travel all the way to China. It would take years to travel to China. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said that gain knowledge even if you have to travel all the way to China. Subhanallah. And this was for the knowledge of the deen. And Islam does not only emphasize the believers to gain the knowledge of the deen, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, Al-hikmatu dhalatul mu'min. And hikmah, according to some ulama kiram, means all types of knowledge, as long as they don't go against the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Science, ilm-e-tib, the knowledge of medication, the knowledge of law, the knowledge of astronomy, and all the other types of knowledge you can think of, it is all the lost property of the believers. It is all the lost property of the Muslims. And thus they should seek it from wherever they can. They should gain it from wherever they can. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said that al-ilmu khazain, that knowledge are treasures. And every treasure has a key. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, al-ilmu khazain wa miftahuha. And the key to these treasures, to get knowledge, is a su'al, question. To ask. Ask and you will learn. Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala became such a magnificent scholar. He was such a giant scholar that he was the greatest scholar in his time. When he was asked, how did you become such a great scholar? He says, whatever I didn't know, I used to ask others. Subhanallah. So questioning, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that to question is the key to gaining knowledge. So ask. And don't be shameful. Don't ever be shameful from asking those who are younger than you. You should ask those who are younger than you as well. Subhanallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels to prostrate to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. What was the reason for prostrating to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam? When the angel said, أَتَجْعَلُوا فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ لَكْ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكْ, that, Ya Allah, why are you creating Adam alayhi salam? Why are you creating humans and making them your representatives on the earth? Why are you sending them onto the earth? For they will kill each other. They will shed blood. And they will cause fasad, havoc on the earth. And they knew this either by the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to them, or by analyzing humans with shaitan, with the jinn. That's how they knew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you don't know. And that is why I have created them. Subhanallah. What happened then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the malaika why the humans are more superior than the angels. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allama wa allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha thumma aradahum ala al-malaika faqala anbi'uni bi asma'i ha'ulai in kuntum sadiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the knowledge to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. What knowledge? The knowledge of the names of everything. Al-asma'a kullaha. And the ulama ikram say that Allah taught Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam the name of everything that was to be created until the day of judgment. So Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam had the knowledge of asma'a. Kullul asma'a. Every single name of every object that Allah was to create, had created and was to create until the day of judgment. And because of that knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the malaika that, do you know the names of these objects? And the malaika said, Subhanaka, Ya Allah, you are most pure. Oh, we only know that which you have taught us. That is all we know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam to give the names of these things, and Adam alayhi salam gave the names of them things. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then ordered the angels to prostrate to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, because of this knowledge. It was that knowledge that gave superiority to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam over the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the knowledge from the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So the importance of knowledge is taught to us from the beginning of creation. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna khayral khayri khiyaral ulama," that the best of all people, subhanallah, Nare Takbir, Nare Risalat, Mufti Ihtisham Saab Qibla, subhanallah, a great scholar of the deen. And we should always respect our ulama kiram. And seeing Huzur Qibla Mufti Ihtisham Saab, it reminds me of a statement of Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala. Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala says that for a person to worship Allah and perform salah all throughout the night for one whole year, and for a person to fast every day of that same year. So a person who fasts all throughout the year, every day, and the very person stands in the prayer in the court of Allah in salah all throughout that year in the night, Imam Ghazali says that to look at the Alim-e-Deen, just one glance, ek nazar se Alim-e-Deen ko dekhna, just to look at the Alim-e-Deen once is better than all of that. Subhanallah. It is amazing. That amazes my mind. That for a person to spend so much time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by just looking at one glance at an Alim-e-Deen is greater. Subhanallah. And there is another narration where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that he who looks at the face of an Alim-e-Deen, it is as though he has looked at my face. Subhanallah. And he who has seen my face, it is as though he has seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. That is the status of ulama-i kiram. And that is why we should respect the ulama-i kiram at all times. And it reminds me of another statement of the ulama-i kiram. And subhanallah, just imagine the status of the ulama-i kiram. All the fuqaha-i kiram agree. It's a unanimous consensus amongst the ulama-i kiram that man ahana aliman, he who disrespects an alim-e-deen or says something that lowers the status of an alim-e-deen, faqad kafar, then he has committed kufr. Allahu Akbar. How great is that status? Subhanallah. This is the statement of the ulama-i kiram. This is the statement of those fuqaha-i kiram who are known as the pious predecessors, the sawad-i-azam. And they didn't take this from their own minds, but this is taken from the Quran and Hadith. Because this is the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they walk with. And that is why you must always and always think good of the ulama-i kiram. And it reminds me of something else. In Bahar-e-Shariat, a Shaykh Al-Allama Amjad Ali Khan alayhi rahma, in his Bahar-e-Shariat, a masterpiece, he writes that when an Alim-e-Deen sees a person wearing something that is haram, if the Alim-e-Deen believes that by him telling him, he will stop and he will ask Allah for forgiveness, he'll do tawbah and he will stop wearing such and he will prevent himself from that haram, then the Alim-e-Deen must tell him. Okay, for example, if a male is wearing a gold chain around his neck and he comes to shake the hands of an Alim-e-Deen, in Bahar-e-Shariat it says that to reply to his salam, if you know that if you will not reply to his salam, then he will think that why did Shaykh or the Alim-e-Deen not reply to my salam? There must be something wrong. It must be this gold chain, let me take it off. From now on I won't wear it. Or he'll go and ask the Alim-e-Deen, why didn't you do salam to me? Why didn't you answer to my salam? And if the Alim-e-Deen says, because you had that chain on, he will remove it. Then the Alim-e-Deen must not say salam to him. Because if he doesn't say salam, then he will learn from it. He will learn from the Alim-e-Deen not doing salam to him. However, Sadru Sharia alayhi rahma writes that if he knows that if I tell him, then he will not learn from it, but he will go away and he will never come back, then you may reply to his salam. So do you understand the difference? So at one point you will say salam, and at one point you will not say salam. Now think to yourself, you come into a masjid. After the program, everybody's shaking the hands of the Alim Edeen. And you see that there is a man who comes to say salam, and the Alim Edeen turns his face away and he takes his hand. You think to yourself, why did he not do salam? After everybody's left, you go and ask the Alim Edeen, Ya Shaykh, why did you not do salam? He says, he was wearing gold chains. How could I do salam to him? That is haram. He says, okay, very good, mashallah. The taqwa of the Alim Edeen, subhanallah. He goes away. After a few days, or at another time, in another masjid, in another program, after the speech, people are coming to do salam again. And now he sees a man who has a gold chain on. And it is clear, the Alim Edeen will not miss this. And now, the Alim Edeen will turn his face away, because I know this Alim Edeen. But the Alim Edeen does salam to him. What will you think? The people will think, munafiq. Ma'azallah, that is what people do. They start labeling the ulama as munafiq. That he is a hypocrite. Yesterday he didn't do salam to such and such because he had a gold chain on. And today he's doing salam to him, even though he's got a gold chain on. That is nifaq, that is hypocrisy. He is a hypocrite. I will not come to his speeches anymore. That is the mentality of our people because of their ignorance. Because they do not know. They do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. That person who has been given hikmah, wisdom, he has been given a lot. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a lot, then that is beyond our comprehension. So we should think to ourselves that the Alim Edeen knows better, there must be a reason for that. And thus you should come and ask the Alim Edeen. Before you start judging the ulama, you should come and ask them. And if you would have come and asked the Alim Edeen, he would have told you that because the ulama have said that if you know that he will learn from it, then don't do salam to him, turn your face away. And if you know that he will not, then don't turn your face away, do salam to him. And that is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. You will see a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where sometimes somebody came with a gold ring and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam turned his face away. Sometimes a person came with a metal ring. Sometimes somebody came with something that is haram and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam turned his face away. Didn't do salam to them, refused to do salam to them. And then they asked, Ya Rasulullah, why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam knew that he is so close to me that if I turn my face away from him, then he will definitely ask me, Ya Rasulullah, what have I done wrong? Tell me so that I can free myself from that and so that you smile to me again. And thus that is what used to happen. But sometimes when a person would come and he would say that, Ya Rasulullah, I have committed zina. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, A person comes and he starts urinating in the masjid. He starts urinating in the masjid. What would our people do? They'd probably beat him up and throw him out of the masjid. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even turn his face away. The Sahaba ikram were ready with their swords to kill him because he is urinating in the masjid. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam smiled at them and told them that this masjid is a pure place and a clean place. This masjid is not for impurity. This masjid is for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glory of Allah, and the recitation of the Quran and salah. Subhanallah. So it is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that sometimes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would be lenient towards some, and sometimes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be harsh towards some. And that is why when the bounty after a war used to come, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to give more to those who are new into Islam. and he used to give less to those who were very close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when somebody asked, when one of the Sahaba asked that, "Ya Rasulullah, do you love them more than us?" The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam used to smile and he used to reply that, "You are mine. You are already mine, subhanallah." And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that, "You are my ummati," then what better can there be? Subhanallah. "You are already mine. I am making them mine as well." Subhanallah. And that is why, before judging an Alim Edeen, you should think twice. You should ask another Alim Edeen that, "I saw an Alim Edeen do this. Why must it have been?" And don't say his name, because that would be ghibah. Don't say his name. Ask ulama-i kiram. There must be some hikmah in that. And that is why you should not turn away from the ulama-i kiram by judging them with your own knowledge. Subhanallah. And I mentioned the hadith, "Inna khayral khayri khiyarul ulama," that the best of all people, the best of the best, are the best amongst the ulama-i kiram. And the second part of this hadith, rather the first part of the hadith, which people tend to mention and leave out the second part. The first part of this hadith is, "Inna sharrash sharri shirarul ulama," verily the worst of all bad people are the bad people from amongst the ulama-i kiram. So from this, up to now I have told you the benefits and the virtues of knowledge. Now know that there is also some things that are negative about knowledge. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said that, "Do not give knowledge to that person who is not an ahl of that knowledge. He is not capable of that knowledge. He will cause fitna with that knowledge. Do not give the knowledge to such a person." And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that it is as though you are putting a necklace of diamonds around a swine, a pig. A pig doesn't deserve a necklace of diamonds or gold, a necklace of jewelry. It doesn't look good on a pig. A pig does not have that status or that importance that it would wear such a necklace. And thus knowledge is like that necklace. And you should only put it on those who are capable of that knowledge. And that is why Allah only makes a faqih when Allah wills good for him. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. And thus that person who tries and tries and tries to become a faqih, but Allah has not yet willed good for him, he will not be able to become a faqih. And that is why, if you wish to become a faqih, if you wish to become a faqih of the deen, then do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Ya Allah, will good for me. Ya Allah, will good for me." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you a faqih. So knowledge is not only beneficial for everybody. There are some who knowledge does not benefit, and they are the shirarul ulama. Those ulama who do not act upon their knowledge. Those ulama who go against the teaching of the Quran and the hadith. Look at the waqia, look at the incident that occurred with Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani radiyallahu ta'ala, Ghawth al-Thaqalain, Shaykhu Jami'il Alam, Shaykhu al-Maghrib wal-Mashariq. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiyallahu ta'ala, after studying the traditional books of knowledge, after studying at the schools of knowledge, he went towards the jungle. He went into the jungles, and in different narrations, it says a different period of time that he spent in the jungles. He spent this time in the jungle to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to gain the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are narrations where he did not eat for a whole year. For one whole year he didn't eat. There are narrations where he didn't eat for 3 years. There are narrations where he didn't drink any water for a year. And there are different narrations about Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala. In that period, at one time, when he was really, really thirsty, and he would say that, "I will not drink, I will not eat until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me drink." At one moment what happens, and the son of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala narrates this. He says that, "My father told me that at one time I saw a cloud appear in the sky, a cloud full of water, full of rain. And at that time I was seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me water. And he says, when this cloud appeared, from this cloud I heard a voice. And it was a bright cloud. And he says, I heard a voice which said, O my servant, O Abdul Qadir, Ya Abdul Qadir, O my servant, you have worshipped me so much, I have forgiven you now. Now I have forgiven you, you need not do any more worship of me. And Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that how can I not need to do any worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the damned shaytan. And so, as soon as he says that, and there are different narrations of what the voice was and what Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala replied. This is one of the narrations. As soon as he sought refuge in Allah from the damned shaitan, he saw that that voice and that light emerged into a dark, thick grey cloud which looked ugly, and it began disappearing. And as it was disappearing, the voice says, and it was shaitan. Shaitan says to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala that, O Abdul Qadir, your knowledge has saved you today. Your knowledge has saved you today. And Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala replies that, no, it is not my knowledge that has saved me. For if it was knowledge that would save people, then Iblis would have been protected by his knowledge. Because Iblis had a lot of knowledge, but his knowledge did not protect him from becoming misguided. And this shaitan, he says that I had misguided many 100 or 70 or even more than that according to different narrations by doing this. But O Abdul Qadir, your knowledge saved you. And Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala says, no, it is not my knowledge that saved me. For even Iblis had knowledge, but his knowledge did not protect him from misguidance. The truth is, it is simply the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah, it is the grace of Allah that Allah has saved me from misguidance. Subhanallah. From this we learn that don't fall prey to knowledge. It is not only knowledge that you look inside a man when you want to follow that man as an Alim Adeen, as a Murshid. Don't think that he is very knowledgeable, thus I must follow him. Look at the taqwa that person has. See if that person is following the way of our Salafi Salihin. See if he is following the maslak of our past predecessors. See if he is on the steps, on the footsteps of our past ulama-i kiram. And as this topic has come, do I still have a few minutes? A very, very renowned scholar in the world today, Dr. Tahirul Qadri. We all have heard of him. He's on the media, his speeches, he has the skill of speaking, but yet the ulama-i ahl sunnat, it is a new thing amongst the people, amongst the majority of the people, and to people like me it is a very old thing that the ulama-i kiram have regarded him as a misguided person. He has been given knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, what has he done with that knowledge? Those people who committed kufr, the Devbandis like Qasim Nanotwi, wrote against the Khatamun Nabuwah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and said that Khatamun Nabuwah does not mean that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last prophet. Ashraf Ali Thanwi, who wrote that the knowledge of the unseen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the same as the knowledge of the unseen that Zaid, Umar, Bakr, Tom, Dick and Harry and animals and madmen have. Ma'azallah. Khalil Ahmed Ambetwi and Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, who compared the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with shaitan and said that the knowledge of shaitan is proven from the Quran and is more than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's knowledge. Dr. Tahirul Qadri many years ago said that I do not regard these people as kafir. These people who have said this, who have said the knowledge of shaitan is more than the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person who compared the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with animals and madmen, he says that I don't believe them to be kafir. I remain quiet. Ma'adallah. And remember, that it is an obligation upon every Muslim. It is iman of a Muslim to recognize what is kufr and regard it as kufr. If you see something that is kufr, you have to believe that this is kufr. It is a part of your iman to say that Abu Jahl was a kafir. If you don't regard Abu Jahl as a kafir, then you'll become a kafir yourself. Because the Quran has distinguished iman from kufr. And if we begin to indulge or bring kufr into iman, then iman will become contaminated. And we cannot do that. And thus it is an obligation upon every Muslim believer to separate the kufr from iman. And Dr. Tahirul Qadri recently, this is what he did long time ago. And since then our ulama-i-kiram left him. But there were still many who followed him due to his publicity. But now he has regarded the Jews and the Christians. He says that they are not from amongst the kuffar. He says they are not from amongst the kafir. He says that Allah has regarded many in the Quran as kafir. Why? Why did he say this? Because he holds conferences with the Jews and the Christians. He has the Jewish priests and the Christian priests, the rabbis and the priests sitting with him. And they celebrate together. And in their presence, he says that the Quran has regarded many as kafir. The Quran has regarded many as mushrikeen. But at the same time, the Quran has regarded many as the Ahlul Kitab. And he tries to prove that the Ahlul Kitab are you lot. And they are different than the kafir and the mushrikeen. And thus you lot are not kafir, you are the Ahlul Kitab. Allahu Akbar. That is destroying the deen. And what else did he do? He held a conference in Wembley, in London, in England, in the UK. And in the UK, he had people from the Sikh religion, their scholars. He had people from the Hindu religion, their scholars, the Jews, the Christians, and all the other religions. He united them all together, and on the stage of a Muslim gathering, the Hindus were pronouncing or announcing Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. They were chanting these chants. Ma'adallah, al-ayadu billah, on the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. When a person stands as an alim-e-deen on a stage or sets a stage up for the Muslimin, then that is the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on that minbar, if people are calling Jesus Christ the Son of God, if they are rejecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they are chanting the names of Krishna and Ram, al-ayadu billah, then how can you accept such a scholar as a Muslim? Ma'adallah. And this is why the ulama have now woken up. The ulama have today woken up and they have now written a fatwa against Tahirul Qadri. And I am telling you this because it may have not reached you yet. Stay away from him, stay away from his speeches. This is the hukum of our ulama-i-kiram. And not the young ulama-i-kiram, this is the hukum of our akabir ulama-i-kiram of today. The ulama of Pakistan, the ulama of Hind, and not only them, the ulama of Sham, the ulama of Misr, they are yet being consulted. And after listening to this, without doubt, they will have no choice but to agree with the fatwa. Subhanallah. And we knew this from before. When Dr. Tahirul Qadri rejected the kufr of the Devbandis. We knew this from before. When Dr. Tahirul Qadri refused to speak against the wrong sects of Islam. He refused to sign a paper to say that he is a follower of the Maslak of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. He refused to denounce a book of his. A book that he wrote many years ago. Many, many years ago he wrote a book. In which the topic was, how can we end the different sects and unite the Muslims? Firqa parasti ka khatma kyo kar mumkin? In there, he clearly writes that all the different sects today, all the dispute amongst these sects is furu'i. Furu'i means it does not concern iman and kufr. It does not concern the usul of our religion. Now tell me, the Shia, they label Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha as a zaniya. Is that not from the usul when the Quran has clearly spoken to clear the purity of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? To swear at the Sahaba ikram, to swear at the Shaykhain Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, is that not from the usul? The kufr of the Diyabana, the disrespect of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, is that not from the usul? Of course, and verily it is from the usul. From then we have known, and our ulama ikram have since then stayed away from Dr. Tahirul Qadri, but today other ulama ikram have also waken up and they have also written against him. And thus remember the teaching of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, that do not fall for the knowledge, because knowledge does not guide everybody. Knowledge can misguide people as well. And thus, we should all try and gain knowledge and act upon it and stay on the path of the predecessors. This is how you judge the ulama ikram. Are they on the footsteps of the past scholars? If they are on the footsteps of the past scholars, if they are on the footsteps of people like Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an, then you know that these are the pious ulama ikram. These are the ulama ikram that we should follow. Like Huzur Tajul Sharia, al-Sheikh al-Mufti, Akhtar Raza Khan al-Qadri, Hafizahullah ta'ala. Today, Huzur Tajul Sharia is such a scholar. If you look into his taqwa, he follows every sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you ask me, from what I have seen, I have not sat in his sahbah a lot, but I have sat quite a bit. But if you ask Mufti Ihtisham Sahib Qibla, he has sat in the feet of Huzur Shaykh Tajul Sharia. I have never seen him do an act against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the recognition of a true Ali Medin. And that is why today Allah has given him such recognition. Allah has given him such acceptance that the whole world is in his feet today. Subhanallah, when he speaks, he is live and the whole world is listening to him. When Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala and Huzur Ghauth Azam radiallahu ta'ala used to speak, there used to be thousands of people listening to him. Hundreds of thousands. Nobody can compare themselves to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala. Nobody can be like him. But people are followers of his. People are those who try to be like him. And we try and compare, we try and see that is he similar to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala or not. And today I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from reading the life of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, it is Huzur Tajul Sharia, Huzur Akhtar Raza Khan al-Qadri al-Azhari Hafizahullah ta'ala, who has them qualities that have been passed down from Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala. Huzur Tajul Sharia, when he traveled to Mulk Sham in Syria, subhanallah, those Arabs who think that we are the only ones who know the Quran because we are Arabiyun Nasl, we were born with the Arabic language, they respected Sheikh Tajul Sharia so much that they sought khilafa from Huzur Tajul Sharia. They sought ijazah from Huzur Tajul Sharia. They gave their hands in the hands of Huzur Tajul Sharia for bay'ah. And they labeled Huzur Tajul Sharia as the greatest wali alive today. Subhanallah, this is the ulama of Sham. And there was a qutb of Sham who went past Dimashq and he saw a light coming all the way from the sky onto Dimashq. And when he entered Dimashq and he met Huzur Tajul Sharia, he says that this is the light. This is the light that I was seeing all the way from the sky. It is this wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he goes to Egypt, when Huzur Tajul Sharia goes to Egypt, I am telling you this because it's the knowledge of ilm and ulama. Recognize your ulama today. When he goes to Egypt, to Jamiul Azhar, I have studied in Jamiul Azhar. I know the teachers of Jamiul Azhar. I know the arrogance of the people in Egypt. To them, the Quran was revealed in Saudi, but only understood and acted upon by the Egyptians. This is what they believe. They believe that nobody can speak Arabic like we can. They believe that nobody is knowledgeable in the deen like we are. And who is their greatest scholar? Shaykh Al Azhar, the head of Al Jamiat of Jami Al Azhar, and Huzur Taj al Sharia, when he comes to Azhar, Jami Al Azhar, he himself is a graduate of Jami Al Azhar. He spent 4 years in Jami Al Azhar. When he goes to Jami Al Azhar and he speaks to them in the Arabic language, they say that it is so difficult for us to believe that you are from the subcontinent, because the way you speak Arabic, it is as though you are an Egyptian. Subhanallah. It is as though you are an Arab. And Huzur Taj al-Sharia writes poetry in the Arabic language. And when they read his poetry, they say it's hard for us to believe that this Arabic poetry is written by an Indian. And subhanallah, on two issues, on two matters, Shaykh al-Azhar, he discussed with Huzur Taj al-Sharia because they had a different opinion. One of them was regarding the father of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. They discussed and they argued at an academic level. Subhanallah, if you want to understand the adab, the respect of the ulama, then this is, you should see the discussion that they had. Even though they disagreed, the respect they had for each other was amazing. They argued, and then Shaykh al-Azhar, he accepted that Huzur Taj al-Sharia is correct on both of them opinions. And the Shaykh of Jamia al-Azhar, he took back, he did rujoo of his two opinions, subhanallah, because of Huzur Taj al-Sharia. And Huzur Taj al-Sharia in Egypt wrote a pamphlet on each of them two topics, subhanallah, in Egypt. And he was only there for a few days. This is who Huzur Taj al-Sharia is. He is not only the son from the lineage of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an, he doesn't only have the blood of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an, but he has the knowledge of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an. Up to the extent that the great ulama of Hindustan, they say that if he was not from the family of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an, he would still be regarded as the pasban, as the protector of the maslak of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an. If you look at his poetry, look at his knowledge, and some people, ignorant people, those people who don't know, who don't study, who don't inquire, who don't request people to tell them, they say that Huzur Taj al-Sharia hasn't done anything, ma'azallah. He hasn't done any work. Imam Ahmad Raza did so much work. Mufti Azam Hind Alai Rahma did so much work. He hasn't done anything, ma'azallah. That is complete ignorance. That is jihala. And that shows how ignorant that person is. He doesn't know how much work Huzur Taj al-Sharia has done. Huzur Taj al-Sharia has written work in the Arabic language. Not only his own, but he has translated much of the work of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. He has written work in the Urdu language. He has written work of his own in the English language. Huzur Taj al-Sharia has done so many speeches live on the internet. He gives a dars every day on Bukhari Sharif, on hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which hundreds of people listen to from all around the globe. He does sessions live on the internet on every Sunday. He teaches and he gives speeches, and he has written so much. And not only that, he also writes poetry in the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only that, he is also a full-time mufti of the deen. And a mufti of the deen, he writes fatawa. And the best khidmah, for the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is writing fatwas for the people, answering the queries and the questions of the people where they get stuck in the Sharia. To answer them queries is the best khidmah an alim e deen can do for the people. And Huzur Taj al-Sharia is a mufti, and he has written so many fatawa. Many of them have not been able to be compiled, but many have been published, and inshallah many will be published. That is Huzur Taj al-Sharia. Recognize your ulama-i kiram, follow the correct ulama-i kiram, follow the guided, rightly guided ulama-i kiram. And as I told you, that look at those ulama-i kiram and see if they have followed the footsteps of the past ulama. And if you see that they are differentiating themselves from the past ulama-i kiram, then understand that there must be something wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to act upon the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to stay away from the wrong ulama-i kiram, and may Allah give us the tawfiq to follow the rightly guided ulama-i kiram. And I apologize if I have taken too much time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. May you all forgive me for the extra time I have taken. But inshallah, it is knowledge and it is beneficial. And if you will benefit from this knowledge, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me, as I am a sinful servant of Allah. And if Allah forgives me, then inshallah, what more do I want? Jazakallahu khaira wa ma alayna illa al-balagh.
People are also following Dr. Zakir Naik. Many people are listening to his lectures. Can we also have something on that?
Dr. Zakir Naik, aka Dr. Zakir Nalayak, okay, also known as Dr. Zakir Naik, he is not from amongst the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He labeled Yazid the enemy of not only Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, but the enemy of all the Sahaba-i Kiram, the enemy of all the Ahlul Bayt, the enemy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Yazid is he who killed Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and family members of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And according to one narration that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala received, he says that I have taken the revenge, ma'azallah, I have taken the revenge from my family against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because he killed my family members, ma'azallah, in the battle of Badr. I have killed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family members. Al-ayadu billah. He, Yazid, amongst the ulama-i kiram, according to the consensus, la'natullahi alayh. Many ulama-i kiram have said that you can do la'nat to him. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala does not regard him as a Muslim. He does not regard him as a Muslim. Kaffe lisan, to remain quiet, means that I don't call him a kafir, yet I don't call him a Muslim as well. That's what it means. It doesn't mean he calls him a Muslim. He doesn't class him as a Muslim as well. He just remains quiet. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal regards him as a kafir, and anybody who doubts his kufr is a kafir as well. So that Yazid, according to Dr. Zakir Naik, is Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, ma'azallah. How can we follow, how can we label a person like this as a leader of the Muslims? Not only that, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala, he says regarding Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala, that he made many mistakes. He didn't know many of these hadith, ma'azallah. He has said this. Not only that, in one of his statements, and the ulama of Bombay, they sat him down on a table and they played his recording to him. And he tried to deny that that was his voice. But he says, when somebody asked the question, that what if somebody, koi agar qabro ko na maane to uske baare mein kya hukum hai? Somebody asked that. And he says, sirf Allah ko mano. He says, you don't have to believe in the qabrs, qabr, the graves of the awliya kiram. He says, only believe in Allah, sirf Allah ko mano. And in that, this is from what I can remember, it might not be the exact question and the exact answer, but these words are his exact words. Kisi ko mat mano, sirf Allah ko mano. And then he says, qabr ko na mano, pattharo ko na mano, sahaba ko na mano, waliyo ko na mano, buzurgo ko na mano, ulama ko na mano, nabiyo ko na mano, muhammad ko na mano, sirf Allah ko mano. Alayyadu billah. This is what he said. And what is our iman? What is our iman? Amantu billah wa malaikatih wa kutubih wa rusulih. We believe. This is our iman. Kaise na mano? Ye to hamara iman hai. Hum to kehte hain farishton ko bhi mano, rasoolon ko bhi mano, sab ko mano. Jo Allah ko mane un sab ko manna chahiye. This is what we believe. But these are his statements, and he makes these blunders because he lacks knowledge in Sharia. usko ilme fiqh nahi diya gaya hai. He doesn't have the knowledge of fiqh. And he says, that is not my field. And Allah only gives ilme fiqh to those whom He wills good for. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. He only gives the knowledge of fiqh to those who Allah wills good for. Thus, Zakir Naik, although he has been given knowledge, he may do some work for the deen. The hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah takes the work of the deen from the fajir as well. Deen ka kaam fajir se bhi Allah leta hai. The fajir, meaning the sinful people, the misguided people, even the non-Muslims, Allah takes the work of the deen from them as well. So yes, he may have done some work for the deen, he may still do work for the deen, but he is not one of our ulama-i kiram, and we must not follow him. And some people might think, what about all those people who have accepted Islam on his hands? If they have accepted Islam on his hands, and after accepting Islam, they have remained on every daruriyatu ahli sunnah, on all the necessities of the ahli sunnah, then they are Muslims. If they have accepted all the daruriyatu deen, all the necessities of the religion, then they are Muslim. If they do not reject anything, like Tahirul Qadri does, and like Zakir Naik does, then they are still Muslim. But if they follow Zakir Naik still, or even those people who accepted Islam on the hands of Tahirul Qadri, and they still follow him after his misguidance, then the hadith where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said that near the end of time, people will enter into Islam and leave Islam in the same way as an arrow. When you shoot an arrow, the arrow hits its target and it rips its target and it goes through. Meaning they will enter into Islam and they will leave Islam straight away. Near the end of time, and this is near the end of time. The Quran says, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةِ. The Quran says that Qiyamah has come near. Then today, of course, is near the end of time. And this is happening today. People are accepting Islam on the hands of those people who claim to be Muslim but are not true Muslims. And this hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to us that they enter into Islam, but after that they straight away leave Islam as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from misguidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to remain on the correct path. Inshallah, I think there is a topic whilst I am here on the fitna, the trials and the tribulations that the Muslims will face, on the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What hadith the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned for us regarding fitna, and what he has said of how to stay away from these fitnas. No mentioning of the ulama, what he has said, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu